handout for last week was called The Church. And, you know, we had Brother David's class with us last week, so I had to do some backtracking and cover, you know, so they wouldn't be jumping in the middle of anything. So on the very last part of the handout, there's a little section called The Church and Me. This is from last week's The Church handout. And what's so important is these two things work together in the special, unique way, walking with the Lord and walking in a local church that's a special relationship. And so I'm going to start the lesson by finishing the very last part of the church where it says the church in me in just a moment after we pray. So good to have you here in the service this morning. I appreciate you so much for being here. Valerie and I will be out the next 2 weeks. I believe this is the seventh or eighth year that we've gone down to McKamey upon request. And several months ago they asked us, and Brother Chris, I talked to him about it, and he said, yeah, that I'd do that if I were you, and I have enjoyed it so much. These are, after so many years, they're friends of ours now, and so we enjoy that. And so Brother Albert will be filling in for the next 2 weeks, and I appreciate him so much for doing that. By the way, good to see them both back. They were both sick last week, and I'm glad that they're back with us. Amen? Okay, as a start to our lesson, would you pray with me? Father, I pray that you just be with our Sunday school hour, and it seems to go so fast, but this morning, Lord, as we talk about our daily walk with you, being composed of our reading the Word of God and also our praying to you, I pray, God, that you'd help us to see that it's just it's another critical part of our Christian walk, and the church is certainly a very critical part, Lord, and there's a special, we know that there's a special dynamic that exists when God's people get together and they submit themselves to your word as a group. And so we pray, God, that you'd help us to see how critical both of these two are. And thank you for these folks that are with us in Sunday school. These are two subjects, the church and daily walk, that they're very familiar with. They believe it and they walk it, and I thank you, God, that you have brought them to us for so many years now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The church and me, at the very end of your handout, it says, having learned these many things about the New Testament church, how should it be applied? Listed below are some practical suggestions for you to receive great blessings from your church. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say it because it's the very first one, but join it. If you know somebody that's saved but doesn't have a good New Testament Bible church, encourage them to join the church. It is God's will for every born-again believer to be a member of a sound, Bible-believing, New Testament Baptist church. Of course, we like the Baptist part, but it's important to be a part of a good Bible church, no matter who you are and no matter what your preference of tags are in your religion. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 tells us that once people were saved, they joined the church. That verse says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's a next step. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, if you're filling in the blanks there. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Now, it's wonderful to know that our participation in the church pleases God. I take great delight in that fact. I'm not just here doing something to pass the time of day. I'm not just doing something because my pastor wants me to come to church. I'm doing something that pleases the Lord by being in his house. God has set the members in the body. And we talked about that the past 2 weeks, how we're each a member of this body, and we need to support this body. We need to be a part of the body and pray for the body and encourage the body. love it. A Christian ought to love the things his Lord loves. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Well, if he thought it worthy enough to die for, I think it's worthy enough to attend, and I think it's worthy enough to support. And the last one is support it. Your church is the place where you will grow, find comfort and fellowship, and serve the Lord. And we find that in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. We have a special ministry of encouragement and exhortation to each other, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It says, plan now to attend as many of the services and meetings of your church as you can. And that's what you guys do, and I appreciate you so much for it. So, our daily walk. Now, these lessons are, once again, are part of the basics. And I'm not a huge fan of that word because they're so much more than basic. They're fundamental. But these lessons are on the basics. And one of the foundational basics that we can talk about is our daily walk with the Lord. It's of paramount importance that we have a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say, as we'll get into it in just a minute, when I say our walk, that's our time in the Scriptures and our time in prayer, okay? Now, in my life, nothing has had more success and more failure than my walk with the Lord. Been saved quite a while now. And those times in my life when God controlled what I did and when I could feel His presence and His blessings in my life, I can correlate with the walk that I had with Him. And conversely, the times in my life when I was farthest away from Him and when I felt like He was the most distant God that I could ever have, it was during those times that I was not walking with Him. I was not reading His Word. I was not spending time in prayer as I should have. This is extremely important. Of all the things that we could talk about, our daily walk is extremely, extremely important. Now, your handout says, Bible Christianity is not a creed or a set of beliefs, but a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we receive Him as a real person into our heart and life. And although there are many things to learn about the Lord and the Christian life, we must never forget there is a personal relationship to be enjoyed and maintained. Our relationship with the Lord is of extreme importance to each and every child of God. Now listen to the Apostle Paul's tone and tenor in this verse. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, it's gain because he's going to heaven, he's going to be with the Lord. But for right now, for to me, to live is Christ. He said that his all in all was to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that's Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And if we're not in this place as the Apostle Paul is in this place, then our Christian life is not what it can be. It's not what it should be, and it's not what it can be. Now let me read a couple of more verses from Philippians over in chapter 4. And I'm going to read Philippians chapter 4, verse number 12 and 13. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, one of the reasons that the Apostle Paul could be full or hungry or be rich or be poor is because of his attitude with his relationship with the Lord. He says back up in verse number 11, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, why was he content? Why was he content when the bad was happening? Why was he content when he was hungry? We know how to be content when the bad's not happening, don't we? We know how to be content when the food is there. that's a good time when the food's there. But Paul was content when the food wasn't there and when the bad things were happening. And I think it was because his relationship with the Lord was right where it should be. And we have such a wonderful opportunity to have such a good outlook on life as a child of God. And that is by having a close relationship with our Lord and His Word, listening to what He says. The Apostle John was no different. He spends the entire gospel, he writes the entire gospel, all three letters that he wrote, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And what is he saying overall in all of what he said was this right here. Jesus Christ is where it is for the child of God. The entire gospel of John is saying just that. It's not in our rituals, it's not in our traditions, it's not in dressing up, and it's not in not dressing up. It is in Jesus Christ. His relationship with Christ was most important to him. Now, what matters is the relationship, but any relationship must be maintained, and this is done by communication. Now, Valerie and I raised four kids, they're all out of the house, and when they were little, we were fortunate that we never had to pay a babysitter. We did not live around kids, around family. We did not live around any family. The closest family was about an hour away in Tennessee, but we worked separate shifts. I was either working nights and she was working days or vice versa, because it changed once or twice there. But my point is, the price that we paid for that, so we wouldn't have our kids under any babysitter, was we were so busy and we barely saw each other. We didn't talk. And so after a while, even though the raising of the four kids, first the two, then the three, then the four kids, you know, all that was good and we were doing the right thing and we were providing and being mom and dad, but this relationship was being hurt because we weren't talking. And if we did talk, it was only about the kids. And there came a point in our married life where we had said, wait, we got to start communicating. We got to maintain what's right here or it'll just go away. Your handout says personal relationships are maintained by communication. Every Christian needs a daily walk with his or her Lord to enjoy all that God has in store. This is the battleground where victory or defeat in your Christian life will be decided. Cut and dried. You want to be victorious in your Christian life? Then have a good, close, daily walk with the Lord. God's will for you as a Christian is to grow. It's part of your handout, into spiritual maturity. There are a number of essential requirements for physical growth, and there are some essential requirements for spiritual growth. This study will deal with two vital things that you need for a daily walk with the Lord. Number one, Bible study. And that's where God talks to me. That's where God talks to us. And then there is prayer, and that's where we talk to God. Now, you know, you've heard me say these two words, special dynamics, special dynamic. And I've only really had one big one for a long, long time. And that's there's a special dynamic among God's people when we submit ourselves together under the teaching of His Word. That's a special dynamic. But I tell you what. There's another special dynamic for the child of God, and it's for the child of God to be consistent in his Bible study and in his prayer. A special dynamic. Now, what does that mean? That means that just a special dynamic means that things are working together. Something magical happens. Don't you like when magical things happen? When you were a kid, you like to watch things that made you think in terms of magical things happening. Well, when we get into the Word of God and when we spend good time in prayer, there's a special dynamic. There are things at work in the believer's life because the Holy Spirit can make all of this happen, and we need for it to happen in our daily walk. Now, your handout says, when should I walk with God? Well, in actual fact, our walk with the Lord needs to be constant. Joshua told the people of Israel in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Day and night. God's word would not depart from the mouth of God's people day and night. Now we can't walk around, like Brother Chris says, with our eyes closed praying and our head in the Word of God 24/7. No, but we can be in an attitude of prayer, and we can be consistent to spend our time in prayer and to read His Word. Let me read for you Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And in these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. The picture is, it was important for them to keep the Word of God in their lives, in front of their eyes, in their minds. It was to be a part of their life. And it's no less important for us. It's no less important. We can't do this two or three times a week in church only. We have to do it on our own. We've got to spend that good quality time with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. That's a lot of praying. But as Brother Chris has said here recently in his message, it doesn't mean we walk around with our eyes closed. Every time I try to drive with my eyes closed, I get into trouble. Well, we can't do that. You know, pray without ceasing means to be in an attitude of prayer when things are happening in your life. I'm a blessed individual because I have so much time behind the wheel. I drive all the time, all over the place. And it's such a blessing to be able to drive and get lost in thought and be in an attitude of prayer about what God's done, or about something that I'm studying, or something that applies that I've read in the Word of God. Letter B says, nevertheless, in our busy schedules of daily life, it is necessary for a Christian to set aside a definite time each day for a devotional walk with the Lord. Now, I'm going to read you a few verses here. First of all, it's important that we are consistent with it, okay? And then we'll talk about the time in just a minute. In Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10, Daniel prayed three times a day. That verse says, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So he was consistent with it. And then next, the Berean Christians in the New Testament says, the Bible says in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. So David prays three times a day, and the Berean Christians searched the scriptures daily, and that's what we need to be doing as well. And there's no prescribed time for doing this. The important thing is that you are setting a time aside, as your handout says. It may be early in the morning. It may be after the family has left home for the day. It may be during an undisturbed lunch break. It may be when the family have gone to bed. You set the time, and then you stick to it. Everybody's different. My time is early. I'm going to read you something. I'm going to read you four or five verses here. And this is not so you will do what I do. This is so that you will see that this is a very good time to do it. Before your day gets started, before you get busy, before you get discouraged, before whatever happens, happens. Listen to these verses. And tell me if these guys here didn't have some benefit in going to the Lord in the early part of their day. Genesis chapter 19, verse 27 says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. That's just Abraham. Now next, Moses in Exodus chapter 24, verse 4. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an offer. Exodus 24, verse 4. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 20. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 20. The next one is Psalms 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And lastly, Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, you know, not everybody's an early bird. Not everybody is a morning person. Ain't that right, Valerie? Valerie's not a morning person. Valerie's an individual who appreciates her time of the day starting at about 9:30 or 10, and then she's okay. And so people like that have to work with that. You have to make your time of the day with the Lord another time. Somebody said, I always say morning instead of good morning, because if it were a good morning, I'd still be asleep in bed. Somebody else said, there's not enough coffee in Colombia to make me a morning person. And then this one's my favorite because this is Valerie here. When I read you this, welcome to my life. A really fun thing to do in the morning is not talk to me. I've had to learn that lesson over the past 35 years. The point is you've got a time. And mine happens to be early, but the most important thing to remember is do it when you can free your mind of what's going on. Get off alone and let God talk to you. Get away alone and get into His Word and see what He's got to say to you. Your handout says, now that you have set aside a definite time for devotions, remember that good habits are hard to form. Ask the Lord to help you keep this one vital appointment. If you fail, don't quit. There'll always be the next day to start. And then there's some suggestions here. Divide your time roughly into thirds. A third of your time for Bible reading. This is the time that you have set aside for your daily walk. A third of that time is for Bible reading. A third of that time for thinking about what God has said. It's called meditation. It's called reflecting. And then a third for prayer. Just a suggestion. This time, 20 minutes at least, must be deliberately reserved, conscientiously kept, and valiantly defended against the attacks of the devil. Meaning, it's all good stuff. And then make Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Your motto. This is good. Listen to this. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. That should be our motto when we get into our daily walk with the Lord. Lord, what are you going to say unto me? Lord, what am I going to say? How am I going to answer when you reprove my heart? It's just good stuff. And then some rules for Bible study. Begin with a short prayer, asking the Lord to teach you. Psalms 119, verse 18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Our prayer should be, God, I'm about to spend this 20 minutes in my time with you. Some of it's going to be reading your word. Some of it's going to be in prayer. But Lord, I want to become more like you. I want you to show me what you want me to see. That's what the psalmist was saying. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, I'm about to read this passage, and the thing that I'm reading just happens to be in my read through the Bible list, but God, I don't want to do it just because it's on a list of things to do. I want to read this passage, and I want to meditate upon it, and Lord, I want you to show me something wonderful from your word. Your handout says, remember, God means what he says and says what he means. Take every word in its primary literal meaning, unless the context clearly indicates otherwise. When the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense, or it all becomes nonsense. That's pretty cool. I heard that a long time ago. Saw it when I was going through all this. So we read the word of God, and we read it literally, its primary literal meaning. Letter C says, while all of the Bible was written for you, it was not all written to you. Now, well, there's a lot of history in the Bible. There's a lot of God instructing certain individuals in their life. Nor was it written all about you. But when we read this, we can see how God acts toward people. We can see how he acts and reacts toward his people. So when we read, we take it and we get a picture of what God wants us to know. Then it says, to help you understand a passage, apply the golden key. Ask these four questions. Who is speaking? To whom he is speaking? About what is he speaking? When was he speaking? You remember many years ago, we went through a series called How to Study the Bible. Anybody remember that? And that was very helpful for me. I enjoyed doing that. But it's helpful to look at the Word of God and see what he's trying to teach you, see what he was trying to speak and say to whoever was in that passage of Scripture, because we can find out a little something about him. Letter D says, have a definite Bible reading schedule. Now, this is the good part of having a read through the Bible schedule. If you don't, your Bible reading will become hit and miss, and so will your Christian life. Letter E says, keep a notebook to write down truths, insights, and questions. Letter F says, mark your Bible. Underline key verses. Write down references in the margins. Now, we do this because it's just a fact of human life. If we take notes, if we're paying attention, if our mind is engaged, when Brother Chris preaches this morning, if we will engage our mind, if we will take notes, this is just how the human mind works. Now, as we write in our Bible, it's important to have a pen that doesn't soak through to the other side. You know, a lot of times Bibles have the real delicate paper. And most ballpoint pens will just bleed right through. I found a set of these for like $15 on Amazon, and this is, archival ink, I think is what it's called, and it will not bleed through to the other side. Like $15 for six colors, pretty cool. But take notes in your Bible. I brought my Bible Wednesday, and as Brother Chris was speaking Wednesday night from Matthew chapter 16, I heard some things that I hadn't heard before, and I took some notes. I jotted them down right next to the passage that he was reading. Very helpful. Helps me to keep my mind engaged into what is being said. Letter G says, treat the Bible as a personal letter from God. Read it ardently and expectantly as a lover reads a love letter, because that's what it is. That's God's love letter to his people. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, he drew us to him. There was a love there in our heart, a desire to get to know him, a desire to become his child. Well, just because we get saved in 40, 50 years later doesn't mean we can't have the same love that we had back then. And if we don't get in his word, if we don't keep our minds in tune to what he says, our mind and our desires can go other places. And so it's important that we stay in the scriptures. Got to close this thing down, but letter H says, scripture always interprets scripture. always interpret an obscure passage in the light of a clear passage. Hey, listen, God's word's not going to contradict itself. And so when we don't understand something in this passage, we go to other passages that talks about the same thing, and we compare Scripture to Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. God will tell us what He wants us to know if we have a mind that's open enough to understand the Word of God. And don't forget, the Holy Spirit delights in instructing us how to think. The Holy Spirit delights in speaking to us as we open up our minds and our hearts to hear what He has to say. So I won't have time to finish the rest of this handout. No surprise there, huh? But take it home, go through it, and just look at your... This is a good time to look at your life. You know, if you're doing a great job with your daily walk, good for you. If we're not, then it's cause to look and say, hey, this is important. This is important that I get into the Word of God. This is important that I be disciplined enough to spend time in prayer and talk to Him. When we read the Word of God, He talks to us. When we pray, we talk to Him. It's a two-way street, and that two-way communication is very, very important to the child of God. Brother Jim, would you dismiss us in prayer?